Well, as we as I looked at our texts for this week, the one I kept coming back to was the Old Testament text, the story of Naaman, which I find interesting on oh so many levels. Not least of which, it reminds me once again that pay attention to the so-called little people in your life, because who knows what they'll be able to tell you. It's not out of the question that when Naaman's wife heard this servant girl say something, she would have ignored it. It's definitely a possibility that when Naaman's wife told Naaman, oh, there's this servant girl told me something. She, oh, by the way, we captured her. And now she's telling me to have just ignored it as well. But instead, Naaman listened and found out what he needed to do, which was go talk to this prophet and things would be better. And so he did. He went there. It didn't really turn out the way he wanted to at first. And the phrase that came to me is what I grabbed the sermon title from. You want me to do what? And I think that's sort of what Naaman is doing here. First of all, he's annoyed. Naaman is obviously a big wheel in his own context. The general on whom the king depends is someone who, well, is known, gets his own way. People pay attention to what he wants and what he needs. And so for him to go to this place he probably doesn't really want to go anyway, not talk to the king, but then go talk to this other person who won't even come out and talk to him, but sends a servant out to tell him what to do, I think I can understand why Naaman was a little provoked. He came all this way, and you want me to do what? Now, I've never seen the Jordan River. I've heard it's no surprise, really, as rivers go. It's not like a mighty river like the Rhine. I remember the first time I got some idea of how big a river could actually be was when I was on a bridge going across the Rhine, and I thought I was crossing a lake. It was just so wide at that particular part. Some rivers are really big. Some are impressive. Apparently, the Abana and the Parfar are impressive rivers, especially compared to the Jordan. And so here is Naaman being told to do something, well, something ridiculous. And the interesting thing is that once again, the word of wisdom, the word that he needs to hear, comes not from somebody impressive, but from his servants in this case. And they say, they probably let him cool off a little bit. Speaking to someone who's in the midst of a rage, the voice of reason is very seldom heard. So I'm assuming they let him cool off a little bit. And he said, Father, they call him Father. I'm assuming that's a way to get on his good side right to begin with, as opposed to boss or general or whatever it might have been. If the prophet would have told you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? And I come back to that often because it rings true to me. It rings with me as well. What do we want to solve our problems? We want something hard that we can still do. We want something dramatic. We want something that is worthy of being watched, if you will. I think that's part of what Naaman is thinking. Not only does he have to do something trivial, but he has to do it in a place he doesn't like, with a river that's unpleasant to look at, or whatever his problem with the Jordan was. And really, he's going to look foolish. And I think that's a lot of what it comes down to, is you have somebody who is at a particular stage of life who does not want to look foolish. What do we do when we expect to be called to do hard things, but then they're not hard, or at least they're not dramatic, or they're not big? They're actually kind of easy, but they still take something out of us. Well, we usually complain, at least I do. If I have a problem with someone because, well, let's be honest, if I have a problem with someone because I've been a jerk, I've been unkind, I've been unpleasant, made a joke at their expense that I knew would hurt their feelings, whatever it might be, and I need to fix that, but what do I want to do? I want to save them from a burning building. I want to push them out of the way of a runaway bus. I want something big and dramatic that will fix everything in a way that won't require me to do something as simple as saying I'm sorry. Why? Well, it's a little bit different than Naaman in some ways, but there's some very significant connections there as well. We are often called to do things that we don't want to do. Not because they're hard, but because they're embarrassing. Sometimes they're even humiliating. They make us look foolish in our own eyes, even if no one else's. And when it comes right down to it, it's our own eyes that matter the most. Naaman didn't want to dip himself in this river because he thought it was beneath him. Because he thought it was an ugly river. He thought it was it was definitely something he didn't want to do because it made him look small, maybe. And he didn't have to. There's no threat involved if he didn't go and do what he needed to do. The only threat was the continuation of what is. I sometimes find myself saying that to God. You want me to do what? But the thing is, I almost never say it in response to really big and significant things. Well, and like most people, I don't have a lot of really big and significant things to do, let's be honest. I mean, you don't change your life every couple of days or even every couple of years. I mean, you don't have those huge life-changing decisions you need to make often. But when I hear God telling me things, I often find myself saying, you want me to do what? But I don't want to do that. And the things that I hear God calling me to are, in many ways, as simple to do as go to a river and dip yourself in it 7 times. You didn't have to swim across the river. You didn't have to divide the river in the middle like Moses and walk across on the dry land. He didn't have to go and capture the river from another country. He just had to go there and dip himself in it. Often I'm called to forgive myself. And I find myself saying, you want me to do what? Why is that hard? I find myself being called to forgive others. And I think, you want me to do what? I'm living in a pool of resentment. I'm living in this experience of every time I think of a particular person, it makes me less happy, sometimes makes me angry. I want to fix that. And God says, okay, forgive them. What? I don't want to do that. Because when it comes right down to it, what Naaman was asked was both easy and hard at the same time. And we often have these things that are easy and hard at the same time. Forgiving someone is easy because, well, the words, I forgive you, how hard is that? But what goes into it? That's a different story. Authentically forgiving someone who hasn't asked to be forgiven, sometimes because they don't care, sometimes because they don't know they've hurt you, sometimes because they're dead and they're actions continue on, sometimes because they are so far removed from you that you couldn't get to them to even ask them to ask for forgiveness in the first place. All of these things. Those things aren't really what make it hard. What makes it hard is meaning it. What makes it hard is saying, I have chosen to forgive someone, not because they asked me, but because I have decided to give up the hope for a better past in the hope for a better future. Because that's what forgiveness does. That's what many of these things we're asked to do actually accomplish. They change us. When we continue in the story of Naaman, we see that he's a changed person. He has a deeper understanding of the true God, and it's changed his behavior. When we do what we're called to do that we don't want to do because it's so easy, it's trivial, and simultaneously so hard, we don't want to. It changes us forever also. I often find myself reflecting on the things that I'm called to do. And lots of them are easy to say. Lots of them are easy to understand, but still difficult in actual action. I find this frustrating, and if you need permission to be frustrated by it, I hand it off to you as well. We're allowed to find this frustrating. I wish things were easier. But I also want to do what's right. And sometimes, that means when God asks me to do something and my initial response is, you want me to do what? Is, okay, I'll do it. I'll go dip myself in a dirty river. I'll actually forgive someone. I will love the people around me even when they're unlovable. I will humble myself to do what I need to do rather than what I want to do. I'll repair that relationship by going and saying I'm sorry instead of waiting for some dramatic moment to save their life that will never come. Which still won't address the original issue, will it? So much of the life of the Spirit, so much of the life that we want, involves things that are initially easy. They're easy to describe, but are difficult to do. Which doesn't mean we shouldn't do them. And it doesn't mean that we should write them off as trivial. Forgiving people who have harmed us, loving the unlovable, which frequently includes ourselves, these are easy things to say. But the doing of them is where the challenge comes. And when God asks us to do these things, even though we may or may not want to do them, let's try and remember Naaman, who instead of just stalking off in that rage and staying in there and living his life as a leper, which is a problem in every culture at that time, maybe just bite the bullet and do what we're supposed to. The results aren't always as instantaneous as that. Sometimes it takes longer for us to repair relationships and that sort of thing. But one of the things that I have found is that when I have felt the need to go and ask someone to forgive me because I did something, whatever it might be, large or small, the moments leading up to it are some of the worst, and the moment I say the words are some of the best. Sometimes those are instantaneous. And that's not the only reason we do things, but sometimes it's as miraculous as Naaman coming out of the water for the seventh time. Restored to wholeness, had a skin like a boy. Sometimes when we put in this kind of work, when we do what we need to do, even though it looks small, but it's big enough that we still don't want to do it, sometimes the results are instantaneous. Sometimes they take longer. But the thing that they have in common is that they're always moving us closer to God, closer to the ideal of ourselves. Every time we listen to God and do what we're asked, we become more and more the people we are created to be, which is what will allow us to be to do those things that only we can do because of who we are. So the next time you're tempted to ask God that question, you want me to do what? Feel free to ask the question. You can always ask the question. But then, just go. Just go and dip yourself in the river, say the words, do the action, and be restored. Amen.